All right, well, good morning. Praise God. Thank you guys again for helping to celebrate Stephanie's birthday. More than anything, celebrating the day that God has given us, you know? Every day is a gift. When we wake up, we have the opportunity to open up our eyes and take a deep breath. Let us be reminded that we only have the ability to do that because God allows it. Amen. That's our God. He is sovereign and good. Listen, I also want to give a shout out to Tiffany. I'm going to mess up her last name, Domenici. She's expressed some interest in, we'd say, hey, if God has given you a gift, a talent, or ability to serve. So my sister, I think, recruited her. She's like, hey, don't you have a really good singing voice? And she's going to be joining us for worship. And so we're going to start incorporating her. So did a great job this morning. So really just... Now we're trying to get John to join. I think he's like, you know, he's giving me the look like, I'm gonna catch on fire the way that he's looking at me right now. So. No, but thank you, Tiffany. Really just a blessing to be able to increase. And at the end of the day, we're here to use our gifts for the kingdom, eh? Glorify God from heaven. Amen? Well, we're glad that you guys are here. And I know today's a Super Bowl, right? I was praying that both of the teams would lose. You know, it could end in a tie. I don't really. At the end of the day, it's all entertainment. You know, I was telling Stephen and Fernando this morning, it's like the new WWE for me because I don't know. I don't believe it. My team is out, but it doesn't matter because, like I said last week, we have victory in Jesus Christ every single day. Doesn't matter what our teams do. We have victory in Him. That's enough. Amen. And so, this morning we're going to be continuing on. The fourth week of the sermon series we've been preaching is called Better. And so what we wanted to do is just recap really quickly week by week. So the first week we learned about having better priorities in life and how we needed to prioritize the things of God. And the second week we learned about having better relationships and choosing and also discerning when God is bringing people into our life. And also at the same time when we need to also prune certain relationships that are dragging us back, that are not healthy for us. And then last week, we talked about making better choices. And we studied, we learned from the book of Joshua and how he challenged the people of Israel at that time to choose this day who they were going to serve. Just like we have to choose ourselves in this current age who we're going to serve. Are you going to serve God? Is your family going to serve God? Or are you going to serve the things of the world? And false idols, and even other false religions, which brings us today to the last week in the sermon series, and the message is called "Better Witness." Better witness. Now, I don't know about you guys. I watch a lot of like crime. How many of you guys are into like those courtroom shows or crime shows? You guys watch those? Now, are you guys more of like the when they're in the court or when they're still trying to find out who killed somebody? The first 48 hours. Both? The first one, huh? You're like a detective. You're like, I think this person did it. And the other said, so I always say, listen, it's almost always about the life insurance. You know, I was like, anyway, long story short, I tell my wife, don't get no crazy ideas. You know, I'm worth more alive than I'm dead. But now there's usually somebody, right? Even when a crime happens, and they're going through the neighborhood, and like so and so called, or we got a tip, or we're gonna go talk about a lead, and this kind of it's kind of cool, right? I think in another life, I would have enjoyed being a detective, but I think there's also something dark about that world too. You're like, man, I don't know if I want to be exposed to that every day. But whenever the police or the detectives, or even when it comes down to the court, they're always looking for somebody, right? What are they looking for? The crime happened, and they're looking for a suspect, for sure. That's right. They're looking for witnesses, right? Who knows something about it? Who saw something? Who heard something? What a crime happened, and somebody left, or I heard somebody yell, and they're piecing together the crime scene, right? To find the suspect, of course. And so the witness is very important. It's very important in those cases. Now, what we're going to learn about today is that God is also calling us to be witnesses, that we can testify, right? Because at the end of the day, those witnesses, when the police and the detectives are trying to find them, that's for a reason. They want to hold that person accountable and have to testify, right, to the truth. Now, we've been given the privilege and we have the opportunity as well to testify. Has anybody in here actually been in a court hearing before where you've called to testify? I haven't. I don't know what he said on that. But what we're going to learn about today is that as we follow Jesus Christ and all that he's done for us, right, that we have the privilege to testify, not to convict, but to give God glory, to be a witness to his goodness. Amen? And so that's what we're going to be covering today. Because, you know, it's so funny. There's different kinds of witnesses too. Have you guys ever heard that? I watch a lot of like Lincoln Lawyer or Law and Order. And sometimes the witnesses, they get on the stand and they start like changing their tune. They start lying. Have you guys seen on the shows? Right? And you're like, oh my gosh, that's crazy. Listen, you have a witness to give, but you also have a testimony to give, sorry, as a witness. But whether you believe it or not, you're testifying daily. People are watching you. The question that we have is it a good testimony? Or is it a bad testimony? Because people are listening, watching our lives, right? And we're brothers and sisters in Christ. And we have freedom in Christ. And the question I have for you is, are you even a good witness? A lukewarm witness? Or a really bad witness for Christ? Amen? So, in our house, we got four kids. So, how many of you guys have kids here? Isn't it interesting that when something happens in the house, something breaks, and you're like, what the heck, what happened here? And then you go ask, and people are like, yeah. Like, what are you talking about? I didn't see nothing. I wasn't even here. Right? We have one of our kids has a real good tell. As soon as we start asking questions, he starts sweating profusely. Like buckets. I'll start asking him and he's like, no. Like, and just start sweating. And I was like, man, this guy is terrible. Don't ever become criminal because your hair was gonna be caught. You know, that's how I, anyway. You guys get it, right? He has a terrible, he's terrible at lying, right? Which is good. It makes him feel really uncomfortable. And where I was going with that, I have no idea. I had a note. I was going to use him as my introduction, but I already used another one. But we're all giving some type of testimony, witness. And what the number one thing that we're going to be covering today, right, is that as we go about our walk with Jesus Christ, one of our fundamental jobs as a Christian is to be a witness. That's the first fill in the blank for today's message. As we walk with Jesus Christ, one of our fundamental jobs as a Christian is to be a witness. And in simplest form, it's just sharing. Oftentimes we complicate it. It's sharing in its simplest form what Jesus has done in your life. It's to give evidence from our own experiences that would validate who Jesus is. And the book of Acts helps us to, reminds us of that mandate. In fact, it's in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Again, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So, how many of you guys struggle with giving your testimony and witness? How many of you guys feel one person? Two people? It's not, you know, isn't it something, right, that God puts people in your path and in your life, and you know the conviction comes, that God wants you to get involved, that God wants you to introduce, that God, but the flesh, right, the flesh is what? The weak. The flesh is weak. It's also insecure. It also, who likes to be rejected? Right? There's a fear of rejection. I don't like that. Right? You get mad, somebody gets mad, right? The flesh, right? And so that's not that's not intuitive. It's not intuitive for us because it's like, well, you know, they're going to think, and this is be honest, right? What are they going to say? There's that crazy Christian again telling to me about Jesus and all this. Does that make sense? That's your mind. Right? That's telling you these things. Because oftentimes we make the mistake of thinking we want to introduce them to Jesus. We want to tell them about Jesus. But that person, when they're in the middle of the storm or when they need to hear that encouragement, they're not quite ready to hear about Jesus. Does that make sense? Because they can't see the path to Jesus. When Jesus is talking about here is to say, listen, you'll be my witnesses. He's saying the same thing. He said, yes, I want to meet them. I want to introduce them. I'm the one that can break the chains. I'm the one that can bring forgiveness. I'm the one that can restore them back to God. I can restore their health, their relationships. But before that, you got to give them a visual, a way to get back to Jesus. Does that make sense? And how the best way to do it is what? Through your own story. Through your own narrative. People understand that. And so that's what Jesus is saying. He's like, listen, number one, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit to give you power. Because oftentimes we think that it's our own words that are going to do the saving. Listen, let me just remind you of something. You're not going to save anybody. We don't do the saving. The Holy Spirit comes in and does the saving. So number one, right off the bat, the first thing that we tell our fear is to say, I don't care. I'm just doing what God has asked me to do. What am I going to be afraid of? I'm not being rejected. I'm just telling my witness. I'm telling my story, my testimony about God's goodness and what he's done in my life. And every single person in here, listen, you don't have to get nervous about it because it's your story. Nobody knows it like you. It has not to be rejected. I don't have to have all the verses and the scriptures. I don't have my degree from Talbot University. Jesus is not looking for that. He's saying, tell your story and tell them about Jesus, about what he did, how he met you at your need, about how he came, in our lowest points, to be quite honest with how he came in, he revealed himself as a creator of the universe. As the one who can make us whole. That's our testimony. That's our story. So number one, the first thing that we see from that passage of scripture, it says you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Guess what? When you believe in Jesus Christ, you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You're already filled with the Holy Spirit. So pray for sure and say, Holy Spirit, just speak through me. And when you do that in earnest, the Holy Spirit shows up. I'm honest to God. I've been sometimes talking to somebody, ministering to somebody, I don't even remember where that came from. I start recalling different scriptures and passages, and I was like, man, I know I study, but I don't, that's a God thing. Has that ever happened? Well, you just empty of yourselves, forget about your insecurity, and say, you know what, Jesus, let me just intervene right here. Let me just share and witness and minister to this person, and the Holy Spirit will show up. But we have to be willing. So we receive power from the Holy Spirit to share our testimony. And then it talks about a strategy, right? Because he says, listen, you're going to be my witness. People need to hear about this. First to Jerusalem, then to Judea, Samaria, and all the ends of the earth. Right? He's very intentional. So go ahead and put that map up, Stephen. So this is what Jesus is talking about, gives you an idea, right? Over here on the bottom right-hand corner, and I forgot my laser pointer, is Jerusalem. That's the little circle right there. Then the other one is Judea, right? So let me give you an example. We're currently in the city of Sanger. It's almost like the same, or you live in, substitute where you live. You live in Reedley, you live in Parlier, Orange Cove. It says first to, right? Orange Cove, Reedley, right? Then to Judea, right? Which is like Fresno County. And then it talks about Samaria, which is the county over. So maybe Madera, Tulare County. Make sense? And then to the ends of the world, right? Now, this is just, again, the travels for Paul, what he was doing in Acts. But what did the church go on and do? It went to go, these guys, right? I say the band of misfits went to change the whole world, not because of their own power and strength, but because of God and because of what Jesus did. Amen? Now, let me give you guys how do we apply that? When you read that, you're like, well, that's great. You know, but how do we make that our own? So put that other the little image of the circle, brother. It's like different colors. There it is. Right. So when you read the passage of Scripture, you have to ask yourself, what's my Jerusalem? What's my Samaria? Right? What's my Judea? And so for us, it's saying, who needs to hear, right? Our Jerusalem is our friend, our family and friends. Our Judea and Samaria is the people we work with, the people in our community, who we do life with, the people we do soccer with, right? Or softball or basketball or your acquaintances. And then the ends of the world, right? It's anyone you encounter and meet. Listen, God is going to be intentional to put people in your path that need to be encouraged by your witness and by your testimony. Amen? Amen. Number two, the second thing that we focus on when we give our purpose and what God calls us to do is we're reminded that when we share our testimony, it shares a light in a dark world. When we share our testimony, it shines a light in a dark world. And we're going to see that in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, where Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Amen? How many of you guys have ever been at home and there's been like a power outage at night, and all of a sudden it just like everything goes dark? And if there's multiple people at home with you, something happens. There's an audible, it's like a gasp. Oh. Right? You guys, people get scared. I remember I used to work in the emergency department in San Francisco, and we had a power outage. And this is it's on the first floor, and there's no windows in the ER. I don't know if you ever noticed that. But the power went out. There's about 200 people there, and I just remember it was so like that. I still remember to this day, because the power went out, and it took about 2 minutes to go back on. We could not see a thing. Not even the emergency lights went on. And finally, the backup generators kicked on. And I remember when the power went out, all I heard was some people yelled, like, ah! Some people, ah! I actually gasped, I remember that. And then I just stood still. I was like, please, like, I don't know what's going to happen right now. But it is kind of scary, yeah? Yes. Now, we take it for granted that we have lights. I mean, we even have them on our phones now, right? Like, you go to a concert, you're like, how romantic. We don't even have lighters anymore, huh? Yeah, now we have the light. We're all cool. But what this passage is saying is to say, listen, back then, can you imagine what it was like? How many of you guys gone camping? Like out there where it's like, right, where it's dark, dark. Like, that's kind of scary, isn't it? We want to go, yeah. Camping trip, let's do it. In the summer, when it gets warmer.
Yeah.
All right, there it is. You guys are our witnesses. Tony and Irene, they're going to organize it for us. All right, praise God. We'll be there. Yeah, let's do it. I've actually been talking about Stephanie that for a while. Okay, we're going to do a camping committee over here. You guys help organize it, we'll show up. Praise God. But if you go camping, right, and it's dark and, like, scary, right? You imagine back then, we have electricity. They didn't have it back then. Why does Jesus make such a big point about being the light? It's kind of a big deal, right? You can't just, like, oh, I have my lighter, I have my... No, you imagine that. You have to, like... actually make fire, you know, like, or I don't know. So it's kind of a big deal. Then Jesus is saying, listen, you are the light in a dark world. And I don't know about you, but God is going to put you in certain places. And if you look at it, and you recall in your own life, where he's going to bring people to you that need to hear about God's goodness. And the world that we live in is very dark and divided. You guys know that. You turn on the TV, all kinds of drama. Everything is dark, right? War, destruction. Crazy stuff happening. But Jesus says, listen, you are following me. Part of me, the Holy Spirit, is going to live within you. there should be a notable difference to the world. Amen. You know, when Moses, you guys remember that, when he went up to the mountain, right? He came down and he was what? He was glowing because he had been with God. And the question that we have to answer is, are we spending enough time with God that people will notice a difference about us? Or are we just mixing in and nobody even notices? We're going with the flow. It's not a good place to be, brothers and sisters. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. There's no plan B for salvation. Plan A is the church. Do you hear me? He didn't say, plan A is the church. That's us. When he talks about that heaven is going to come down, he says, listen, a little bit of that is within you, within me. The Holy Spirit comes in and says, listen, come and do my work. Participate. Be a part of it. You get to be the light. Isn't that awesome? Yeah, we live in a dark world. But greater is what? He that is within me than the one that is in the world. So he invites us to be a part of that. He invites us, right? Because people sometimes, I'll be honest with you, I shared with you guys that the power had gone out and that it was absolutely dark. That's kind of like a physical time, right? An experience. There's people that we know that are living that day after day after day, a darkness in their life. Because, number one, we live in a broken world. Because sin and separation from God creates that darkness. And Jesus invited us to say, listen, we're so desperate for the light. Would we be that light to somebody that is separated from God, that doesn't know that they can find peace and hope and joy and salvation and forgiveness of sin through Jesus Christ? He invites us to be that part of the story. You know somebody right now that is living in darkness and needs to know your story. And it's not about putting all your business out there, your hurt, your pain. It's not about you. It's about God. He gets the glory, amen? In fact, if you see in verse 18, it says, same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. God gets the glory. Listen, we didn't save ourselves. Somebody shared the good news of Jesus Christ with us. Amen? Somebody was praying. Somebody invited us. And then God came in all his goodness and his grace and his mercy, and he made us whole through relationship with his son, Jesus Christ. The third thing that we're going to learn about, just a reminder or a key point in your testimony, is that it shows the power of Jesus to transform lives. Your testimony shows the power of Jesus to transform lives. We're going to be reading out of Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5 is going to walk us through that point. And this is where Jesus heals a man that is possessed with many demons. Mark chapter 5 verse 1 says, they went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs and met him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had been chained by hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front. He shouted at the top of his voice, what do you want with me, Jesus, son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me. For Jesus had said to him, come out of this man, you impure spirit. Then Jesus asked him, what is your name? My name is Legion, he replied, for we are many. He begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them. He gave them permission, and the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. heard about 2,000 in number rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending to the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and to the countryside. Now the people went out to see what happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were all afraid. Those who had it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man, and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell the people in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done. And all the people were amazed. Amen? Jesus has the power to transform lives. I don't know. If you read that passage, it's a lot of scripture. I say, man, that's like a big old steak, right? So let's break it down. The first thing that we read when we look at this passage is the context matters, right? So it says they had just come off of the boat, right? Now, what's interesting, the passage of scripture takes place, I don't know if you guys know that, but after Mark chapter 4. You guys, I know, that's a little bit of pastor humor. You're supposed to laugh. What's happening before, in the previous chapters, that Jesus is enjoying a lot of success in his ministry. He's preaching, large crowds are gathering. He's on the Sea of Galilee. Could you put up the map, Stephen? The one of the Decapolis? Right there. So what's happening is the ministry that he started, he's over on the top portion. I need my laser pointer. But he's actually on this side, not the orange portion you see there. He's actually having a lot of success there. He's bringing people. He's healing people. So the crowds are gathering, and they're big. And they just come off of a big campaign. And Jesus says, "What are we going to do?" The disciples are all pumped up. They're like, "Oh, yeah, it's doing it. We're crushing it, Jesus." And Jesus says, "Let's go to the other side." Right? It's kind of like, oh, all right, praise God. Thanks, sister. All right, look at that. Ooh, back in action. Thank you. So he's preaching in this region here, right, on the northern west side of the Sea of Galilee. As the disciples are finishing, or they're preaching, he's doing his teaching and preaching, he says, "Let's go over here." And they're probably like, "What? Jesus, what are you talking about? We're killing it over here. Like, do you see what's happening?" He says, "No, we're going to go on the other side." What's interesting is that when he gets there, there's not like this big old welcoming party, right? It's not like this big old welcome committee. It's like, did you guys hear Jesus? The rabbi has come. Jesus, you know, no, who's there? One guy. Right? One guy who is what? In demon possessed, with chains broken off his hands. Can you imagine that situation? Can you imagine him being there? Can you imagine if you're one of the disciples? Number one, this is the same sea, right, that night before, where the disciples were like, "Okay, we're doing well. Let's get in the boat. And by the way, we're almost drowned." You guys remember that? When Jesus calms the sea, they're like, "Jesus, don't you care? We're going to die right now. And you're sleeping in the boat." Jesus is like, "You little faith." And they walk across, right? And the welcoming party is this man who's demon-possessed. And he gets out of the boat and says, "A man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him." I want you to just picture that. You're getting off of the boat, you're coming, and this guy coming out of the tombs to meet you. I don't know about you guys, but like, I'm not like, okay, I'm not the guy that you want to bring with you. Like, I'm not like, that's not, if I have to, I'll intervene for my family, my kids, but I'm not the kind of guy that's, I'm not Peter. I'm not going to storm into it. I'll be like, "What's going on over there? I'm the guy that's checking it out." That guy that's crazy over there. "Hey, Jesus, we're going to hang out on the boat a little longer. Let's lay down. Maybe he'll go away." That's me. I mean, honestly. I'm not the kind of guy that's going to be like, "Hey, crazy dude, we're here with Jesus. Repent, turn away. Demon, get out of him." I'd be like, "Hey, Jesus, maybe he won't see us. Let's hide right here. That dude looks crazy." That's not me, okay? But Jesus is like, man, he's God, right? And obviously the man with the impure spirit comes out to greet him. But what's interesting about that is not the person that starts speaking to him. Who starts speaking to him? The impure spirits know who he is. And of course, one of the side notes to take away from as you're going through this passage of scripture is just number one, know that even the demons know who Jesus is. Amen. And so when we're up against the battle we sang about earlier, is the battle belongs to who? To God. But even the demons have to bend the knee, right? There's nothing that we face that's so big that we can't have victory in Jesus Christ. He is who he says that he is. Amen. So as they go about, he's going out, right? And can you imagine that? The guy that had chains on him broken. I'd be like, Jesus, that guy breaks out of chains. Let's wait, please. Jesus is awesome, though. I would say, like, listen, when you read the Bible, you kind of have to, like, just imagine that you're there, right? It's like, it's not just, it's history, right? It's his story. But picture is like, man, I don't know, Jesus. I kind of laugh sometimes when I'm reading because I was like, I would be the opposite. I'd be like hiding. But anyway, what happens is Jesus commands him what for the unpure spirit to leave him. And Jesus asks him, what is your name? And he says, my name is Legion, for we are many. And listen, as we go through this passage of scripture, oftentimes we can fly right through it and we can relate and we can pretend like I was one of the disciples. But the reality of it is, at some point in our life, we were all the man, the crazy guy, that we were bound by chains, that we had many vices, and our sin nature, right? And sins that we committed, our pride, our unforgiveness, our ego, the sins that we've committed against God, and the sins we've committed against people that we love, and sins that we committed even people that we don't love. And the reality of it is that, man, we've been forgiven much. And every one of us in here, we all have our own demons that we struggle with, amen? But when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, he comes to break those chains, amen? What a beautiful testimony that is. See, some of you, like I said, you might have been that person where if I saw you on the street, I don't want to be near that guy. I don't want to be around that guy. That guy or that gal, they're crazy, right? And I'm saying, when you tell your testimony, don't highlight that part. Some people like to make a mistake. It's like, oh, you should have known me before I knew Jesus. I was crazy. I was so crazy that I would do all this. And I was like, hey, you're trying to talk about Jesus, not about how crazy you were. Does that make sense? Tell your testimony a little bit. But talk about God's goodness. Don't highlight your past sin and what God has brought you. We do have to recognize that God has brought us out of that. Well, we give testimony to his goodness and what he's done for us, amen? And what's interesting, right, is that even after the people that saw what happened, a lot of people were afraid. You guys remember that? Some people even rejected him. They saw that the dude is crazy and they still rejected him and says, man, now I'm just afraid. I'm not sure what's happening. When you give your testimony and witness to somebody else, not everybody's going to be willing. Not everybody's going to be converted the moment you open your mouth and give testimony and witness. Jesus says, listen, just do your part. Let me do my part. God is God. God does the saving, but will we just do our part to share his goodness? What's interesting is that even though they saw him cast out the demons, people still asked him to leave. And Jesus could have said, you know who I am? You know where I was? Where were you at the beginning? You know when all of this was created? Jesus didn't say that. In fact, what did he do? He left. It wasn't the right time. It wasn't the right time. But the seed was planted. They saw. They were witnesses to it. That just means that brothers and sisters, as you give your witness the testimony, God has a unique time and appointment for that person. It's not up to you to decide. It's to you, for us to be obedient, to share his witness, to share the goodness, to share testimony, amen? Now, what's interesting about this as we continue on, right? This is the fourth point in the sermon, is that Jesus commands us to share our testimony in our mission field. in our mission field, your mission field. And we see that because after the man, right? After the demons were cast out, they saw him, the people, they saw him sitting calm, full of peace. Amen? Now Jesus then immediately, now Jesus and the disciples, they get back on the boat. And the man had just been possessed. He asks to go with Jesus. Now Jesus gives him a very simple command. And he tells him in verse, let me read it again, 18 through 20. It says, as Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you. And now he has had mercy on you. So the man went away and began to tell the Decapolis how much people had done for him. Now this is interesting. It says, and all the people were amazed. Amen? Listen, God is calling you to tell your testimony to your own people, to your own mission field. A lot of us are not going to go to Jerusalem and to Judea and to Samaria and to the ends of the earth. But you are going to what? You're going to go to the Super Bowl party later. You're going to go to work tomorrow, maybe. You're going to drop off your kids. Your kids are going to play soccer. You're going to go to band practice or whatever. As we do life, that's our mission field. A lot of times we read the scripture and we say, well, that's great, to the ends of the earth. And I'm not called to go to Mexico on a mission trip or China or India. That doesn't mean that you're exempt from that passage of scripture. That just means that your mission field is different. And the other thing that we often ask ourselves is like, well, I don't know, there's not a lot of people to share. And this is true. A portion of it is true. As we become Christian, we end up having more Christian friends. We don't have as many. Does that make sense? But you still work. It's not like one of these things. It's like we have to go to work and we're like looking. Where are all the non-believers at? Where are they? When you go to your kids' football games or soccer games, you don't have to be like, I wonder where the non-believers are. I can't find them. If I see one, I'm going to call the pastor so he can come and pray for that person. They're in your house sometimes. They're in your backyard. They're your friends and your family. It's the coworker in the cubicle next to you. It's the guy that's fixing your car. Yes or no? Amen. We're surrounded by people who don't know who Jesus is. Amen? Amen? It's not like we have to be like a detective. Like, where in the world are the non-believers? There's one right there. Like we're narrating some kind of like a animal show. There he is. The non-believer. He likes to watch football all day. Be quiet, you might startle him. He will not leave his couch for 4 hours once this game starts. Come on, man. You guys all know exactly where the non-believers are. You don't have to narrate like this is some kind of animal show. We know exactly where they are. We need to go get them for Christ, amen? Amen? By sharing our testimony and our goodness, inviting them. Listen, something interesting will happen when you invite. Half of the time they'll show up, and the half of the time they won't. And it just costs you what? Hey, brother, we're gathering together for a men's group. You want to come? I'll pick you up at 5. Whatever. Yes? Hey, you should come to our church. You know, what, wow, man, I don't know about your church. You just get, it's about inviting, it's about relationship, it's about sharing the good news of what God has done in your life, amen? Man, we need to make sure that we're doing our work in our mission field, not for our glory. And listen, I always say like this, we're not in the business of moving fish from one pond to another pond. If they're already plugged into a local church, man, praise God. You know what, but we need to reach the people who don't know who Jesus is. Because those people are going to hell. And that's not a place where we want our friends and family, our loved ones, our co-workers to be. And we're unseparated from God. In a place of eternal punishment. And what, because we were too shy, we were too afraid to invite somebody because we were afraid that they would reject us? Love somebody enough to tell them anyway. Love somebody enough to say that you might reject me, but you know what? You need to know the truth about the path that you're heading on. I love you too much. You can reject me all day long. That's okay. What if you did our part? We're not saving anybody. The Holy Spirit saves. Amen? Just be obedient to that. Just be obedient. And brothers and sisters, just keep praying. Keep praying for the God appointment. It may not always be us. It may be a brother and sister. It may be another person that's encouraging to come alongside, because oftentimes, you've heard me say this before, the people that we love, that we're praying for, and then we tell them, like, let me tell you about Jesus. And there's already, that pathway has already been calloused. You know what that means? It means they've heard it so many times from you, it's like, I don't want to hear it. Like, man, that is like a hard, there's like a knot. How many of you guys do like any kind of carpentry or anything, or building? You guys ever try to drive a nail to a knot? What happens? That's not going to happen. That thing bends all crazy. Sometimes it comes back and takes your eye out. This is before they had all the safety gear, huh, brother? You end up trying to do it. You're like, I'm going to do it. No, you're not going to. It doesn't matter what you do. Now I'm going to get my drill out. It's still, that's our relationship. Sometimes it's like a knot right there. That's why we need each other. So listen, you're not going to be able to drive that nail in, but my brother Henry in the back, or my brother Stephen, or my brother Steve, they might come in and get them where it's soft right here. Easy, right? Doing God's work. That's why we need each other. That's why we need the church. Amen? Listen, just to kind of wrap this up, right? We hold in our hearts the good news of who Jesus is. And he's asking us to be a witness and a testimony to the world around us that desperately needs to hear his story. Because I say, listen, all of us, a person that was bound by chains at one point in time, and he came and he set us free. And I said, man, I just want to be a part of building his kingdom up. Not even building up this church, building up his kingdom. And I've heard, said this before, I said, man, wouldn't it be cool if you run into somebody and you transform somebody, not we, right, but you help. You say, listen, I did my part to get that person to meet Jesus. And we now get to spend eternity with God, with our friends, our family, our coworkers, the person, our neighbors from across the street, whatever it means, right? But we did our part to do that. What else is more important? Nothing. Nothing. So let's do our part. Let's share our witness. And we can focus on continuing to pray and ask the Holy Spirit, God appointments, to share the good news. And what's interesting is when you have that mindset, you know what God is going to do? He's going to bring you people. He's going to bring you people that have gone through your exact same mess and drama and heartbreak and heartache to say, listen, that storm that you're going through, that darkness that you, let me tell you about it. I've been there, done that. And let me tell you about Jesus. That thing that you're going through, you feel like you're, I say, the dark of the night, that separation that you feel, that's because the separation we feel is we're not together with God. We've sinned against God and against each other, and that causes what? Death. But we can be the light and remind people of God's goodness. And that's what we're asked to do. We're called to give a witness to his goodness. Amen? So let's focus on that. Because the gospel needs to be shared. It's the good news. So I know some of you guys, you know, who in here, and I don't, maybe you don't have to raise your hand, but who enjoys a good cheese man? Right, yeah. What happened? Yeah. The word gospel comes from gossip. But not gossiping about people. Gossiping the gospel, brothers and sisters. Amen? Go and gossip the gospel. Not about your neighbor, her friends, or what she was wearing. He was doing that. Oh, man, drama. That should be our new tagline. Christ Community Church. Gossiping the gospel. Amen. Let's stand. Father God, thank you again for this day, for your grace and your goodness and your mercy. Thank you, Lord God, that you've invited us to be a part of your story, Lord God. That you invite us to give witness to your goodness, Lord Jesus. You're the one that does the saving, Lord God. So, Father God, right now I pray that you give us a deep conviction, Lord God, to do our part. A deep conviction to go and tell people the good news of who you are. Father God, thank you again, Lord, for meeting us, Lord God. We are separated from you, Lord God. When we were in chains like that man that was demon-possessed, Lord, we had our own demons that we were dealing with, Lord. And you came to set us free. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And Father God, forgive us right now, Lord God, if we've reverted back. Listen, every day, your mercies are for us every single day. That means that when we give our life to you, Lord Jesus, we know we're not going to be perfect. Who's good but God? Who's good but you? So will you meet us at our need, Lord Jesus? Forgive us, Lord God. And Lord God, if you've been putting somebody in our path and in our hearts and you want us to go share our testimony, Lord God, but we've been shy, Lord God, give us a renewed sense, Lord God, of peace, of confidence, of knowing that you are preparing a divine appointment for us, Lord God. Fill us, Holy Spirit, with who you are to make us to be bold and confident, Lord God. That your word even tells us, Lord, that if you reject us, they're not really rejecting us, they're rejecting you. You're calling us to obedience. You're calling us to follow you, Lord God. So right now, Lord Jesus, will you meet us there, Lord God? And we also put in our hearts, Lord God, people that you want us to continue to pray. Father God, right now we lift up our friends, our family, our co-workers, people that we work with, Lord God, we don't know who you are. Will you create those divine appointments for us, Lord God, to share the good news of who you are, and to share our testimony, the testimony of your goodness, of your grace, and of your mercy, Lord. Will you help us to reach more people that are lost, Lord God, a world that desperately needs some good news. And thank you again for your provision and for your guidance, Lord God. Father God, right now I pray for our church family. For our church family that couldn't be here, Lord, you watch over them, guide them, and protect them. And for those of us in the room, Lord God, you also, if we step out in faith to share our testimony and the good news of who you are, Lord, will you protect us from the lock, from the attacks of the enemy, Lord God? You know we have victory in your name. We're going to claim it, Lord God. Even the demons know that you have victory, Lord God. So we have to put on ourselves, or put on the armor of God every single day, remind ourselves that we are your children, Lord. So protect our families, protect our home. Lord God, I also pray for our family that we're going through some health issues, Lord God. We've got aches and pains, Lord God. Will you bring healing, Lord God, to us? Thank you, Lord God, that this is just temporary. This place is not our forever home. And these bodies get old and they get tired and they ache, Lord God. And fill us with healing and understanding from you, Lord God, a peace that surpasses understanding, that our joy would be in you, Lord God, in all things. Lord God, now I pray that you would just give us a spirit, Lord God, to be on fire, to share the good news of who you are. Give us opportunities, Lord God, to expand the kingdom. You watch over us and you guide us and continue to keep us as we move forward throughout this year, that we can proclaim, Lord God, how awesome you are. That we can proclaim and share the truth, Lord God, of what it means, Lord, to live a life that seeks you out in all things. That we can live out our church's verse, which is to seek you first, Lord God, and your righteousness, and you'll add all these things unto us, Lord Jesus. Be with our children, be with our grandkids, our nieces and nephews, our parents, Lord God, our communities, our neighbors, Lord God. Thank you again for your goodness, Lord. And in this year, that we continue to make better decisions, Lord God, for you, prioritize you, do better choices, Lord, to build better relationships, and to also get better witness, Lord, to the world. Lord, we love you. Jesus Christ. We love you.